what it looked like. Snow on a summer's day. What would it look like? Like hope on a child's face. If you could love me, what would it look like? Like snow on a summer's day. If you could love me, what would it look like? What would it look like? Snow on a summer's day.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! You understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Breathe.
Is you hungry? on my body, body, body like it's something to eat, something to eat. So you can act bad, don't hurt me, look sexy.
Don't be so excited.
What you talking about, shawty?
I'm on my spot, you ain't talking about my soul.
Act bad, don't hurt me, look sexy, talk dirty.
I'm on my spot, you ain't talking about my soul.
You seem so excited.
Good evening. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or perhaps you might be one of our podcast listeners listening to this later on. So however you've decided to spend the hour with us, we are really, 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 really glad to have you. And I do mean have you. It's very, very important to just be taking care of yourself. So in terms of taking care of yourself, because when you are taking care of you, you are sexy. And actually, a lot of guys, when they're interviewed about what makes a woman sexy, it's usually about confidence. And a confident woman is very, very sexy. And I've got an amazing confident woman who is coming on the show tonight, which I'm very excited about. And we are going to be chatting about the WOW events. And Christine is the founder of Woman of Worth, which began in 2004 as a full-day conference, which was created to celebrate the magnificence and empowered leadership of women. And WOW, it's actually grown into an annual event that brings over 800 women together. Can you imagine that? 800 women, the estrogen levels just over the roof. And it's together for an entire day of world-class speakers, entertainment, pampering, celebration, inspiration, and I love this, the fact that there's chocolate. And a woman worth is for every woman because every woman is a woman of worth. So Christine, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you on tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Caroline. I'm very excited to be here and joining you. It's Sexy in the City at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night. I can actually form words and form sentences. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. I think I met you originally when we were at that health fair, and you made me feel so good that day with, I believe it was a peppermint halo, which was with the peppermint oil on my head. So just in terms of my listeners out there, in case anybody's got a filthy mind, that they realize what we're talking about.
That's true. I seem to recall that you had a little bit of a headache.
I did.
And I put this natural remedy on you, and you just perked right up, and you were feeling better, and your attention was back, your energy was back, and that's how our connection was forged. It was one of those wonderful moments in time.
It has, and it's awesome, and it was just really neat, because just when we were chatting the other day, it was like, we haven't seen each other for so long, and I'm so excited to have you on the show, because your event is coming up very, very soon. So why don't we talk about the Woman of Worth event, and what is it exactly?
What is it exactly? Well, you led off really great by saying that it was a day to create that was created to celebrate the magnificence of women.
Mm-hmm.
So we start out right out of the gate saying, let's celebrate how fabulous and magnificent you already are. Not how you might be one day, but how you are right now, because women are amazing. And I find it fascinating how little women actually spend time acknowledging how great they are. I mean, we do so much. We have careers, we have families, we balance the budget. You know, we're just magnificent multitaskers, and we nurture, and we heal, and we do all these great things, and make time for being sexy. And lo and behold, what's the first thing that will often come out of women's mouths is some area that they feel that they're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so this day was created to start turning that around and to say, you know, let's celebrate how fantastic you already are. And let's bring in some amazing speakers and speak to this. And let's bring in some entertainment so we can celebrate. And let's have some food and some fun and some shopping. And as you so importantly pointed out,
chocolate.
Let's have chocolate.
Yes, it actually creates the same, I believe, endorphins in the brain as does an orgasm. So
I've heard this rumor. And I've got to say, you know,
there's scientific knowledge.
But I do love chocolate, especially yummy dark chocolate.
I do love chocolate, too. I'm allergic to dark chocolate, but and I do like my orgasms, too.
Well, there you go.
But if I can have both.
Together, that's actually the perfect answer right there. So,
I think it's great. So was there something personal that inspired you to start the events? Like, what started it? Because it's such a fantastic event.
Well, thank you. And, you know, first of all, I really had no idea how to put on events. And I was basically given this vision. It really did feel like I had a vision.
Mm.
I was given the name and the purpose and when it was supposed to happen and what it was supposed to look like. And it all was just this download. And I remember sitting there thinking, are you sure this vision was supposed to land on me and not the house next door? Because I'm really not sure how this got into my brain. And I laughed. I just saw a quote the other day that I just giggled over because it was actually Mary Kay who said this. She said, you know, aerodynamically, the bumblebee should not be able to fly, but the bumblebee doesn't know it shouldn't be able to fly, so it just goes on flying anyways. And I kind of feel that way about the WOW event. I had no idea that I couldn't do this. And I didn't realize I couldn't do it until after I did it, and by then I'd already done it. And so it speaks a lot to following your passion and following your vision and following your dreams and not letting considerations stand in your way. Because in the early days, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no money. I had no budget. I just followed my vision. And magic occurred and miracles occurred. And, of course, in earlier years before this vision arrived, I'd had a really interesting experience many years ago where I went through some incredible debilitating pain and suffering. And after numerous tests and CAT scans and specialists, it was determined that I had this really rare eye disease. And I was told that I was going to go blind and there was nothing they could do for me. And that was a really rude shock, I can still look back on this as many years ago as it was. And, of course, first I cried and sobbed because the thought of losing my vision was horrifying. And then this really interesting shift occurred within me. And I remember having this absolute certainty in this moment that said, you know what, nowhere in this story called my life is there going to be a chapter that says, and then I went blind. That's just not in my script.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I need to do to change the story, but I'm just going to let go of everything I previously believed and allow new information to come in. And so, you know, to go into detail of what happened in that process would take, you know, a good weekend. But needless to say, some really interesting things happened. And it changed my perspective forever, Caroline.
Wow.
I just, 6 months later, the disease was completely gone. It's never recurred.
Just 6 months.
That's all it was.
Wow.
And the medical community has me listed as a medical miracle because there was no explanation for what happened. I mean, I had my own explanation, but it wasn't something that they understood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with all due respect to the medical community, I worked with a lot of different theories and beliefs. And that's when I started really tapping in to my inner sense of self-worth and self-esteem and self-empowerment. I would have to say that that's when it really, really began for me.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, I was not a particularly confident person who really placed a value on my own self-worth. I didn't even really know what that meant.
I think a lot of us don't know what that means until we're faced with it in ourselves. And even as we go through the journey, because, I mean, you're also the founder of WellPro, and you're a dynamic speaker and author and a consultant as well, especially about strategic wellness. So, and you've been doing that for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But even within that, because I know myself, sometimes I do quite a bit of work as well in terms of with self-esteem with other people. And sometimes we forget where we have to keep checking in, otherwise your body just does it for you, where it just like clicks in and you have to reevaluate and constantly keep going as we keep evolving.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I often will talk to people where, you know, they'll have something random happen, like maybe they'll get in a car accident and they're like, you know, but it wasn't my fault. And it's like, well, of course it wasn't your fault. It's not about fault. But let's talk about what was going on prior to the accident. And because I have found that if we don't take really good care of ourselves and make time for that, the universe will find a way to slow us down so that we pay more attention.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, it starts with, you know, little hints and little small things, and they get louder and louder and louder. And then next thing you know, it's the car accident or whatever it might happen to be.
That's interesting you say that, because the last car accident I had was right after I'd actually gone for reflexologist treatment. And at the time I was teaching dance classes full time, and the reflexologist actually told me straight up that my body needed to heal and needed a day off, because I hadn't had one for over a year. And sure enough, after I got back from Whistler, because I had that while I was up there, I came back and I was in the back seat of a cab, and we ended up getting rear-ended. So I ended up being off work for 7 weeks. So the life really, I really do believe that, where it, like, so I think that's great, like, in terms of checking in, it's like, what else is going on in the life and what are you manifesting? Because you need to take care of you. So if you're not going to, the outside forces will make you.
Exactly. You know, and when things do go awry, it's not, you know, information to beat ourselves up with. I mean, I personally, as much as I know this and I've been practicing it and teaching it and role modeling it for such a long period of time now, even I, you know, had an experience in the past year where, you know, with the economic downturn and a bunch of other things that kind of were happening in my outside world, I really allowed it to affect my inner world, and I haven't done that in a long time. And I guess I just, you know, needed to have another experience with that so I could maybe be a little bit more empathetic and compassionate to people who spend most of their time there. And I got myself mired back in, and all of a sudden, you know, kind of sat down one day and went, oh, wait a minute. I need to interrupt the programming here. Mm-hmm. I need to shift gears. And that all sounds really good in theory. And a lot of times people say, well, that's all fine and very good, Christine, but how do you actually do that? How do you do that? You know, give us a practical ABC here, because, you know, we agree with you. We understand in theory what you're saying, but how do we do that, especially when you're stuck in it?
And how do you do that? Because each person, there is no A, B, and C, because each person is so unique and different. And
exactly.
So it's challenging and exciting sometimes.
Well, it is too. I mean, I must say that I have reached a point in my life that when things do start to shake up and they're not going down the way I want them to go,
mm-hmm.
on a good day, I'll say to myself, well, this is exciting. Obviously, I'm being presented with an opportunity to change my mind about something. And I get curious and I get excited, and then really interesting things start to happen. But, you know, that doesn't always work out that way. Other times it's like, oh, crap. So a couple of the things that I found that really work for me and seem to work for most people, because you're absolutely right that not everyone is the same, and different personality types, you know, will gravitate more to different types of things that suit them best. But some of the things that I find work really well for just about everyone is, first and foremost, is humor. And remembering to laugh and to laugh at ourselves, especially. I mean, one of the speakers that we have at WOW this year is, she's an amazing woman. She's been very supportive of WOW, and she's one of Canada's top professional speakers, and she's just a treasure, and her name is Linda Edgecombe. And she's an award-winning humorist, and she has a really powerful message. And she leads the way absolutely brilliantly in showing us how to lighten up and laugh. Because when we get so serious, we contract. I mean, when you think about it, you know, when you think about frowning and concentrating and being serious, I mean, can't you just feel your body starting to tighten up and contract? And it's very hard for creativity to flow and for things to change when we're in that kind of contracted state. So one of the things that I'll do, I mean, the internet is such a great tool, is I will go and find videos online that make me laugh. Or I'll go back and review some old jokes that I've kept on my computer. Or I'll phone up a friend and say, okay, I'm having a moment. I need a comic break. You know, and just tap into my resources and remember to do that. And so that's one of the tools that I've found to be really, really helpful.
I can imagine how that would be really helpful. I know for myself, usually breathing helps. I sometimes have to remind myself to breathe. So I too click on a lot of videos sometimes, and sometimes every 45 minutes or so I try and click onto something interesting. And a lot of times it's, for me, it's usually some form of an exercise video, or I'll remind myself to do my four-part breath in terms of yoga, just to get myself really centered in my body. And sometimes that helps. And the other one that really helps for me is just journaling. One of the things that's great with WordPress and some of the blog sites is sometimes when I'm having one of those days that I feel fat, I feel ugly, or just not good enough, and I just write and let it all out on there because nobody else has to read it except for me.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of blogs.
That's fantastic that you do that, because giving a voice and feeling heard, even if it's just us hearing ourselves, is so important, because I think so often we keep things inside and we're like little pressure cookers, and it's building and building and building, and then the next thing you know, there's an explosion, and explosions are really messy. So I agree with you totally, and it's interesting you bring that up, because I've had an issue that's been kind of niggling at me for the past little while,
and I just
spent some time today just getting it out and writing it all out. Whether I'll actually send this communication to the other parties involved or not, I don't know. But just the process of giving a voice to it and getting it all out and getting it down on paper, it was just this tremendous weight was lifted, and I feel lighter and just feel like I can release that and let that go.
It's so important. And sometimes when you reread it later and you read what you've written, and it's quite interesting, because I know for myself, sometimes I'll read it and it's all of a sudden it's just like, okay, it's the emotion's not attached to it anymore, so that's just the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to let go and really see what's going on. Other times, if I still can't let it go afterwards, what I'll do is I'll actually, if I'm writing it to somebody because I'm angry at them or frustrated or I'm sad and I've got a lot of emotion attached to it, I'll actually have them write me a letter back. And I write it as if it's their voice. And so sometimes I find that very helpful in terms of for forgiveness. It's very key. And in that way, I'm able to put it in their perspective. And it doesn't mean I'm going to forget, but I'm able to let it go. So then that way I can forgive myself as well. Because usually I find if I'm really angry at somebody else, it's because I'm mad at myself for misjudging a situation in my perception.
Oh, that's so wise, Caroline, and I love it that you brought up the forgiveness thing, because, you know, my experience has been, especially when I had my counseling practice, is there's just so much energy that women especially hold on to, and that just gets them into the state of just not even being able to consider forgiveness, because forgiveness gets confused with saying, well, if I forgive someone, that means I sanctioned their behavior. And it's not about sanctioning someone's behavior. It's about just getting past the behavior and remembering what is really true on the inside, and how can I be of greatest service to myself, and is to release these angers and frustrations, et cetera, that I have with others, and just remember the higher truth of who I really am, because the only person who truly suffers from a lack of forgiveness is ourselves. And it's a hard one. It's a really, really tough one, because there's some really icky things that can go out there in the world. And it's not just some easy thing that you wake up one day and say, okay, I'm forgiving everybody for everything.
No.
And so we find these tools, like you just talked about, for letting go of it a little piece at a time, and to have patience and compassion with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's one step at a time. I know I've got some conscious girlfriends, as you obviously do, and we have a rule and an agreement between us that, you know, if we're ticked about something and something's happened and we've got some energy going on, that we can phone up and we're allowed 5 minutes of full-on collusion where we'll and the other person will agree with us 100% about everything and egg us on, and we just get this great energy and whoom, start getting it out. And then after we've had that nice little venting process, we sit back, take a breath, and say, okay, now what?
Wow. What does it feel like to be on the receiving end of that?
It's actually a lot of fun. Of course, I'm a little unusual, but... It is. It's like, because you're not bought into it. It's because it's the other person's experience. So, you know, I'm feeling very compassionate, obviously, and very supportive. But I know that this is a conscious girlfriend who's not going to stay stuck in this.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to have fun with it.
So let me clarify this. So if I call you up, Christine, mm-hmm. and so would I be like, Christine, I had the horriblest day today, blah, 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 or would it be more like as if you were, say, I don't know, my father, for example, and it'd be like, Dad, blah, 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 where you'd actually role, like, where you'd role-play that, and you'd just say, I agree,
I would agree, and I would egg you on, and I'd say, he did what? What a dickhead! Oh, my God, I can't believe he did that! What else did he do? How did you feel about that? Oh, my God! And, you know, you just really get into it. You play it up.
Mm-hmm.
You play it up, you take the volume up, and by doing that, there's just something energetically that happens in the DNA of our cells that just allows us to release some pieces of it so that we can come back to saying, okay, what am I going to do about this now?
Mm-hmm.
What's my one next step that I can do? So I can take back a feeling of control and take back my power and get back into balance and get back into peace.
One of the interesting things that you actually said, like, well, you said a lot of interesting things, but one of the things that I thought was really particularly interesting is about the fact that it's just energy. And I think that's really, really key to remember that it's just energy. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, for WOW, which I'm really excited about, is you've got Jackie Ensembe coming out. And one of the performances I saw her do once was the Harvest Dance, where they actually have everybody imagine all their grief. And the dancers come around with their arms wrapped. And everybody imagines chucking it in there. And then from there, they dump it all in the center. And then they do the little stomping dance and have everybody come up and harvest as if you're harvesting grapes. And then you actually reach your arms up and actually reach all the energy and then sprinkle it all over yourself. And it feels really good because it's just energy. And I think that's really, really key. So once you get it out, it's really important. It's wonderful that in terms of recommending for people that you have a space where you can actually, whether it be on paper, whether it be with your girlfriends, where you've got that, where you can just rant and just say all that stuff. And it's a safe space, in other words, to do that, where you can let it go. And then from there, figuring out, okay, now what? Which with the girlfriends, you can reflect. With the journal, sometimes you need to walk away from it for a little bit, then come back and reflect and take a look at what you've written. And it's like, is this valid? Is this something that is really going on? Or is it just because I'm having an emotional day today?
Exactly.
And just really see what's going on and taking an almost cognitive approach to it.
I agree with you completely. And as you pointed out earlier, the different personality types will be drawn to different practices that work more specifically for them. So whereas I can have these conscious girlfriend conversations and we can play it up and really move it, that might not work for everybody. You know, I completely acknowledge and understand that for some people that wouldn't feel safe. That wouldn't feel like a role that they will want to play maybe at this point in their life. So doing the journaling, one of the practices that I used to encourage people who are more internal processors is that they write it all out, as you suggested, and get it out, and then crumple it up in a ball and set it on fire.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and just, you know, burn it up, let it go, and let it crumble into ashes. Because I've also heard the quote that, you know, those who fight fire with fire often just end up with ashes. So it speaks a little bit to the whole topic of revenge and trying to get back at them. Give you much. So
no, it doesn't. It's just it's energy and energy and energy just in general. And one thing I think is really important in terms of getting it out, it's really, really important, especially if you've got other people in your lives, whether it's your family, your partner, because if you don't take care of yourself, eventually it starts poisoning everything else, and you need to have an outlet where you're able to release all that.
It really does create a ripple effect, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's one of the things that a lot of times people will say, well, you know, if I want to, you know, have my pity parties and hold on to my resentments and my judgments and whatever, I'm the only one being affected by that, so it's nobody else's business. And, you know, to a certain degree, I honor that, and I understand that, and I hear that. And on the other hand, I also know that because it is all energy, whatever I believe and think and do has that ripple effect. It starts in my heart. It goes out into my family and friends, which goes out into my community, which goes out into my country, which goes out into my world. And the ripple effect is something that's hard to measure tangibly. So it's hard to say something, you know, if I can actually measure that, I might be able to buy into that more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all know just the feeling when you walk into a room where someone's in a really pissy mood and you just walk in and you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of the ripple effect.
No, it's so true. It really is. What would you recommend in terms of listeners, some other key things that they might be able to do when they are holding that so they can let that go so it doesn't affect other people around?
Well, one of the things that, again, I feel is a really universal principle that pretty much anybody can buy into is tapping into a feeling of love and gratitude, either one or both, because those are the two most powerful emotions that we as human beings have. And when we put ourselves into a place of gratitude and love, there's no room for anything else. Nothing else can exist in that. And so, again, people say, well, that all sounds really good, Christine, but if I'm in it and I'm just all of a sudden supposed to start feeling all grateful and loving, that's a little unrealistic. How exactly am I supposed to do that?
And how do they do that?
Well, how I do it. This is what I tell people, and their eyes light up, and we've actually done this as an experiential exercise. It's so simple, is I just invite people to take a big breath in, close their eyes, and bring to mind someone that they love unconditionally, and maybe it's a pet, because pets are so easy to love unconditionally. And in my case, I tend to always envision my nephew. Now, he's starting to get a little older now, so he's a little cooler. However, I was my sister's birthing coach when he was born, and we've always had a really special connection. And what I bring to mind every single time if I start going down the path of having a bad day is I stop and I imagine all those times that I have walked into their house, and the door opens, and all of a sudden I hear him coming. I hear these footsteps come racing down the hall, and I hear this voice going, Auntie Tina! Auntie Tina! Which is what my family calls me, Tina. And he flings himself into my arms, throws his arms around me, looks at me with this big beaming smile and these big blue eyes, and he's like, I'm so happy to see you! And I call that a love bomb.
I like that, a love bomb.
It is, and it's just indescribable what that feels like in my body. And so that's what I bring to mind to this day. I mean, he's turning 14 this year. If he ever listens to this podcast, he's probably going to be cringing in embarrassment. However, you know, he still does it to a certain degree. I mean, the child is just amazing. I shouldn't even call him a child. He's becoming, you know, his voice just changed. Oh, my God, what a shock.
At 14, it's a good thing that his voice is changing.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, there's like this deep, sexy voice he's got going on now. And I'm like, oh, what happened? So.
I was purring.
That was you purring.
That was me purring.
I was looking for my cat going, wow, you've changed.
No, it's just me.
So, yeah, the love and the gratitude is so powerful. I just, you know, and a lot of strategies that I share with people, actually all the strategies that I share with people, they're really, really simple. And I ask people not to underestimate a strategy just because it sounds too simple. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people where they go, well, that's too easy. When did we become addicted to things having to be complicated and hard?
When we became adults. Sometimes,
well,
I don't think growing up is all it's cracked up to be, because we choose to let go of stuff that makes it fun.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, I just really like to, as much as possible, encourage people to lighten up, to laugh, to not take ourselves so seriously, and to find strategies that are easy, and to embrace the idea that life can be easy, not all the time. You know, we have moments that are going to be challenging and they're going to be hard, but it doesn't have to be that way all the time. And even if we can just pick small little examples and focus in on them, I mean, this ties so much in with the law of attraction, which I think there's a lot of knowledge about now because they went mainstream when they got on the Oprah show with The Secret, and, you know, a lot of attention was brought to something that mm-hmm. previously was considered to be quite woo-woo and strange. And it's just, it's a simple law of physics. I mean, whatever you put your attention on, that's what you get more of. So if all your attention is going on things that you don't want, and all the bad things that happened, and all the challenging things, and all the things that you just don't want, and you just keep focusing on that and focusing on that, mm-hmm. the universe doesn't know any better. It's just obedient. So it just keeps sending you more of that. You notice when you're having a bad day, it gets worse, because you're so focused on your bad day. So the universe goes, oh, okay, so we're having a bad day experience. Okay, here's some more. And so that's why I always say interrupt the programming and get on another track. And that's where the whole love gratitude comes in. That's where the laughter comes in.
That's where living above the line comes in.
Living above the line, exactly.
That makes so much sense.
I had another quote that I love by Edith Armstrong. It says, I keep the telephone of my mind open to peace, harmony, health, love, and abundance. Then, whenever doubt, anxiety, or fear try to phone me, they keep getting a busy signal, and they finally forget my number and stop calling. And that's kind of the law of attraction in a nutshell. Putting our focus and attention on what we do want and what we do want more of so that that can expand and grow. And we focus on that a lot at WOW. And the acronym of WOW, obviously, is Woman of Worth, for those who are listening and haven't clued into that yet. And if anyone's interested in having a look at the website, if you don't mind me mentioning the website.
I fully encourage you to talk about the website, the fact that the event's coming up.
That would be great. It's thewowevent.com, thewowevent.com. And we have our sixth annual conference is coming up quite shortly. It's on Saturday, May the 29th. And it's at the Fairmont Hotel Vancouver for the whole day. And it is, as I said before, an extraordinary lineup of fabulous speakers. We have entertainment, Jackie Asambe and her African dance and drumming team.
You mentioned chocolate, too.
We've got chocolate. Hmm. And, oh, by the way, we're also going to be having chocolate. And we also support charity as well, because giving back is another fantastic way to keep feeding our self-worth and our self-confidence.
Tell us a little bit more about the charity you've chosen this year.
Yeah, we've chosen a different one every year. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're local and sometimes they're global, because WOW does stand for the global empowerment of women. That's what we're all about. And so I like to act locally and think globally. And so this year we've chosen to support young girls who are in bonded labor in Nepal. And it's a really interesting situation. I mean, as we speak right now, there are over 20,000 young girls in slavery in Nepal.
When you say slavery, do you mean sexual slavery, or are we talking factories?
Some of it is sexual slavery, because what happens is the families are in such abysmal poverty that they're forced to sell their daughters. And then they're separated from them, and they never see them. And they take them out of school, and they just put them into basically bonded labor, which is a form of slavery. Mm-hmm. What happens to them after that point varies, and some of them do go into sexual slavery. Some of them go into factory slavery. Some of them go into a combination of both. Some of them are living with their bonded owners who mistreat them in numerous ways. And it just keeps perpetuating the cycle of poverty. And mm-hmm. so we've partnered with the Intercultural Women's Education Network on this one for this year, which ties in with our speaker, Linda Edgecombe, who really got behind this in a big way. And so what this project focuses on doing is not just, you know, buying the girls back and putting them back in their family, because then ultimately nothing really changes.
No.
So they do buy them back and put them back with their family, but now they provide them with resources to put them back in school, to learn a vocation, to also get the family involved in education and learning a vocation so that they can become self-sufficient, they can become literate, and interrupt the cycle of this poverty mm-hmm. and stop the chain. So that's a project that we're supporting this year, and I'm really excited about it because, you know, you can't change the world in a day, but you can always start somewhere. And I know that one of the things that has kind of been my guideline when I think of giving back is something that Eleanor Roosevelt said. I'm big on quotes, as you can
tell. Quotes are great.
but she summed it up really quite simply. She just said that when you cease to make a contribution, you begin to die. And I really believe that that has a certain amount of truth. You know, maybe not physically die, but our soul begins to die if we're not in a place where we're giving back. And it doesn't have to be anything big and grand. You know, it can be just random acts of kindness every day. It can be saying thank you to, you know, the woman at the checkout counter who looks like she's having a bad day. And, you know, just making eye contact with someone. And the different ways that we make our contributions will vary mm-hmm. from person to person. But that's always a part of WOW, is contributing and giving back.
And loving and gratitude. So it goes almost full circle back in terms of some of the tools.
Very much so.
What? How do you decide your speakers? Like, as I imagine, in the 6 years, it's evolved quite a bit, and is each year a little bit different based on just things sometimes perhaps personally you're going through in your life? Like, for example, you're mentioning the humor, which is a really, really wonderful healing tool mm-hmm. to use. Is there certain ones that kind of step out, or do you almost have a template at this stage for it, where sometimes you might have one that's that in terms of humor because it's something that's very vital in terms of a tool, perhaps somebody in terms of gratitude. So each thing where it's somebody for a different perspective, but a speaker about that, those certain key points.
Yeah, we do try to keep, I say we, I mean, I've always mm-hmm. been the visionary in this, obviously, and I now have an amazing team of people that have come together with me in the past year to become part of this company, because I was just, you know, such a recovering perfectionist. I had to do everything myself and just about, you know, burnt myself out. I did burn myself out, so that was a very valuable lesson. So now when I refer to we, I'm referring to this new amazing team with Euphoria Events that's now working with WOW. And so as the visionary for how the day unfolds and speakers that come in, I basically have a loose concept in my mind that I want to bring people in that speak to the topics that tend to be most top of mind for women on a very authentic gut kind of level. So, you know, one that's pretty much always top of mind for pretty much everybody is the subject of money and prosperity and abundance. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to have, you know, that addressed through speakers that speak to not how to make money, but the energy of money and okay. the belief systems we have around money. And so it is coming from a prosperity and abundance point of view, mm-hmm. not, you know, should I invest in RSPs or, you know, mutual funds.
No, it's probably similar to something like Lynn Twist's book, The Soul of Money, for example.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. You hit the nail on the head with that one. So, you know, money in that particular form is always addressed at WOW. And, of course, health and wellness is always an issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we zero in specifically on hormones because we all have them.
Yes, we do. We've got hormones, we've got pheromones, we've got it all going on.
We got it all going on. And, you know, it's really kind of an interesting balance, especially for women. And especially in this day and age, you know, that ties in with my wellness work that I do myself, is, you know, we live in a very chemical, synthetic age in terms of, you know, what our bodies are being exposed to. And they've really interrupted the hormonal balance even more so. And so I do have myself a lot of strategies that I teach women on how to regain some hormonal control physically. And at WOW this year, we have Dr. Susan Bialy coming in, who is going to be speaking to women's wellness. Mm-hmm. And I love Dr. Susan.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Have you ever met her?
I have not met her.
You know, she's quite incredible because Dr. Susan, she used to be like this depressed, frustrated medical clinic doctor. She was like, you know, incredibly intelligent and brilliant and beautiful and all these things. And she just hated her life. And she talks about this in her talks that she now does. And she has transformed her life. And to the point that she now, she is still a medical doctor, but she balances it out now through coaching and speaking, and her big passion, which is flamenco dancing. She's a flamenco dancing medical doctor, and she actually spends some time living in Mexico as well as Vancouver, and she actually ended up meeting and marrying her husband down in Mexico, whose name is Armando. And, you know, that's so sexy. Things we're talking about is sexy. The first time she told me this, I went, your husband's name is Armando? I don't know anyone whose husband's name is Armando. It just sounds so romantic and just exotic and wonderful. And she met him flamenco dancing.
I love that.
Oh, so she actually just came out with her first book, which is absolutely fantastic, and it's called Live a Life You Love. And she speaks so much to the whole topic of not putting your dreams on hold and not making that a last priority, of making it a first priority and carving out time, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, to devote to whatever your dream, your vision, something that's empowering to you personally. And she talks about making someday be today. And she's so powerful and so passionate as a speaker, and how that affects our overall wellness and our health. So, you know, the whole money and the health thing, those are things that we tend to always weave into WOW. We speak a lot to, obviously, internal self-empowerment and self-confidence and self-worth, because what I have found is that even the most successful women tend to have an internal story going on a lot of the time. And people don't talk about it. It's like, well, I can't talk about, you know, any fears or doubts or anxieties or any of those things that I have going on, because then I might look weak. And God forbid I should ever look weak, especially if I'm operating in a man's world in business. So one of the things that we created at WOW is something called the Prosperity Panel. And we bring a panel of very successful women together and put them on stage, and we have a conversation with them. Because these women are highly successful, but they love their life. So given that we're all inherently the same, what exactly are these women believing just a little bit differently or doing just a little bit differently that allows them to shine so bright? And how do they cope with a bad day? And how do they make time for a life? So we talk to them, and we have this conversation, and it's brilliant, and it's deeply authentic, and it's deeply meaningful, and it's one of the highlights of the whole day.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we call it the Prosperity Panel, and it's being facilitated by Candace Newton, who has become a very dear friend of mine, and she is a television producer, she's a humorist, and so she weaves her talents and her brilliance and her humor into this whole conversation as well. And it just makes it so incredibly powerful and impactful.
How have you found, on a personal level, that WOW has changed you over the 6 years that you've been doing this?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm poorer financially, which is an interesting thing for me to lead off on, because what it has done is it has really forced me to get crystal clear about my values.
Okay.
Yeah, and because when I started this, it was a sideline. It was something I was doing as sort of a hobby. That's not quite the right word, but I had other things I was doing to create revenue for myself. So whether this event was financially viable or not was irrelevant to me. And then it just kept growing, and it grew, and it grew. And because the first year, you know, we had just over 100 women come out. And then the second year, we had 250 women come out. And then the third year, we had 500 women come out.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I went, what have I done? What have I started? Holy crap. And I stood there, and I looked at this ballroom that was just filled with these 500 women, and they were all smiling and enjoying themselves and feeling fantastic about themselves. And the energy in the room was just about blowing the room off. And that's when a business advisor came to me and said, you need to start treating this more seriously. You need to treat this like a business. Now, in hindsight, I think that was one of the best and the worst decisions I made, if that makes any sense.
It does. Sometimes when we approach things with heart and it grows because of passion, sometimes it's going back in, sometimes in having to create that structure. where it's like, what works? And I know in our pre-interview before, you mentioned that sometimes it's instead of taking on the parts, because and asking, why am I doing this? What am I getting out of it? Because it's really important too. And what do I need to grow? And what do I need to do on a personal level? And sometimes that's actually bringing in people who are gifted in certain areas. I know for myself, in terms of running a charity, it's been very beneficial bringing in a bookkeeper, for example, who's absolutely dynamite. And now I don't have that box of receipts at the end of the year that I give to the accountant because I'm not as worried because she's absolutely lovely. But surrounding yourself with really solid people so you can flesh that passion out with the structure and having those people to support that structure.
So the good news in that is that because I did everything wrong from a business model point of view, now I get to look at this event, which as an event is extraordinarily successful and extraordinarily empowering, and it changes lives. I get emails from women for months after the event about how something shifted for them and it allowed them to take a step in a certain direction that they had been holding back or even paralyzed in before. So, you know, from an event point of view and from an impact point of view, incredibly successful. As a business model, because I did everything wrong, it forced me to get very real with myself from a business perspective and to admit that I had done everything wrong and say, well, what is the way that you do it right? And that, probably the biggest piece in that was the importance of teamwork, especially for women, because we are, by nature, tend to be more nurturing, more collaborative, more multitasking. And so the importance of finding the hats to wear that are natural, sacred gifts. It's why we're here. It's what we're here to give. And to allow other people to step into the spots, like you point out with the bookkeeper. You know, if you're not here to manage numbers, then finding someone on your team that is their sacred gift, and that is what they're here to do. And to bring that kind of power together as a team and working as a community. I had come out of a fairly hardcore corporate world in my younger years and had gotten turned off of what I thought was working as a community and a team because of the old school paradigm of how corporations were run. And I needed to reevaluate and get current what it really means from an empowered sense to work with a community of highly conscious and like-minded women. And that's what's been going on in the past few months as we've restructured WOW as a business and are finding ways now for everyone to do what they love to do, to shine at that, to be able to give back, and to actually, ideally, make some level of profit at this so we can continue to do our good work in the world.
That sounds so fantastic.
Well, I like to think it is. And I'm in the process of that right now. You know, I'll be completely honest. I have not got this one all figured out yet, but I'm in the process of it, and I'm on the road to it, and I'm being supported beautifully in it, and I'm hugely grateful for that. And, of course, I have this fabulous relationship with my manly man that I refer to him as the manly man. He's probably listening to this right now going, oh no, she called me that in public.
He probably loves it.
He really has been the biggest gift in my life, and I don't know that I would have ever attracted this man into my life in my earlier years when I had those lower levels of self-confidence and self-esteem and self-worth. And, you know, I tended to attract, like attracts like, I guess we could put it, and I tended to attract men that were vibrating on the same frequency. And just by virtue of the fact that I attracted this man into my life 3 years ago and has spoken a lot to me personally about the level that I'm vibrating at now, that I could attract such a magnificent man and just love him so much. And he has been a rock in my life, an absolute rock. And he is so grounded. So when I start going, blah, you know, he is there. And I don't know that I could have done everything I've done in the past year when things have been so challenging without him there in my life. And one of the things that I say to women, when they hear that, sometimes women get really defensive and go, well, you know, so you're saying you have to have a relationship in your life to be a really successful, empowered woman. And I'm like, Absolutely not. I think it's important for women to really resonate with the harmony in the opposite sex. Does it need to be a primary relationship? Does it need to be a romantic relationship? No. It's any relationship with anybody in your life that's important. And is it in harmony and is it in flow? I think women can be very, very successful and lead fabulous lives and don't necessarily have to have a romantic relationship. I don't believe that's a requirement.
I don't believe it's a requirement, but I think it's really wonderful. So.
It's icing on the cake.
It's
chocolate icing. Yeah.
It's chocolate, definitely chocolate. Although for me, I like vanilla. But I too have a very wonderful man in my life, and I'm very, very lucky. And it just enhances everything else that I've already got in place. Because, but I again continue just doing the work, and I'm really looking forward to the conference. And again, that's just remind the listeners in terms of when and on the website where they can find out more information about it, so they can come and find out and feel really good. And guys, if you're listening, get your gals to go. It's really important for them to take care of themselves, because when you get them to take care of themselves, you'll get it returned to you tenfold.
Oh, you've got that absolutely right. So please, yes, go and visit the website. It's thewowevent.com, thewowevent.com. And there's information all over that website about all of the different speakers and presenters and different projects we're involved in. There's some video clips. And the date, of course, for the next event is Saturday, May the 29th of 2010 in Vancouver at the Fairmont Hotel Vancouver, which is just a gorgeous venue. And I'm so excited to be there.
It's going to be really exciting. And I am so looking forward to seeing you in person. Hopefully I see you before then. But
I hope so. I hope so. If nothing else, we'll have to get together over some chocolate after all this conversation about chocolate.
I think so. Chocolate is a very sexy thing. So.
It is.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 29th at the WOW event. And that's thewowevent.com. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And he's going to be guiding you into the wee hours with his sexy, sexy, sexy ambient music and super hot voice. And I haven't turned around to see what shoes he's wearing, but I'm sure they're really super duper hot, so I'm going to keep myself in suspense until I get off air. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Volunteers. The Helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
And laughter.